Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Boundary Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you here. Right now is Companies to Watch, and this morning we're turning our attention to some troubling news out of Genting, Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's all about those cruise lines. Genting, Hong Kong is facing yet more troubling news. Its Asian-based cruise ship brand, Dream Cruises, announced it will cease operations after it returns to Singapore shores. And this happened on Wednesday, apparently.
Yeah. So this comes as the absence of sustainable operating income under current challenging circumstances has continued to hinder its survival, leading to the operator revealing that it no longer has that financial capacity to keep going.
Mm. On a positive note, though, Genting Singapore said that it's ready to move forward with its plans to upgrade Resorts World Sentosa.
Oh.
Its expansion plan, it's called RWS 2.0, will begin construction in the second quarter of this year, starting with expansion of two attractions.
Well, that's going to be interesting. All right, this is all part of the group's $4.5 billion expansion plan as it prepares for a post-pandemic tourism recovery. Let's find out more from Tay Wee Kwang, who is a senior associate at CGS CIMB Securities. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, morning. I'm fine.
Let's talk a little bit to start off about the situation with regard to Genting, Hong Kong. Were you surprised by that development?
Personally, I'm not that acquainted with the business of Genting Cruises. But from my understanding, through public sources, I mean, customers, you know, can submit your claims for refund as the company assesses its ability to process the claims. And I think under such challenging conditions, it is quite... you do see a lot of cruise operators heading out of the business.
Of course, this is happening after it failed to secure funding to help it stay afloat following the insolvency of its German shipbuilding subsidiary. Genting Hong Kong has filed to wind up the company earlier this year. How much of an impact would you say Genting Hong Kong's dissolution have on Genting Singapore or even the wider group?
So for Genting Hong Kong itself, who owns the Dream Cruises, is actually a separate entity from Genting Singapore. So although both are part of the larger parent Genting Group in Malaysia, so nevertheless, I think the financial obligations arising from Dream Cruises should not have any bearing to Genting Singapore at all.
Okay, let's talk about something more exciting that's closer to home. We've got Genting Singapore getting a revamp. We mentioned that it's part of Resort World Sentosa's 2.0 expansion plan, $400 million in upgrading its attractions, refurbishing its hotels, and all this is going to happen from the second quarter of this year. We've all been to RWS at one point and another. Do you think this is the right time for it to upgrade itself, to expand? I mean, it opened in what, 2010, if I'm not wrong?
So I think there are two parts to the answers. I mean, firstly, the extensive redevelopment is actually part of the agreement with the Singapore government to extend its casino license to 2030, for which it will be operating under a duopoly alongside Marina Bay Sands. So secondly, as part of the attractions and facilities manager, I think it is important for the company to conduct such asset enhancement initiatives to ensure that RWS maintains its attractiveness to locals and tourists alike, such that, you know, it continues to make business sense to operate.
So they've got sort of two verticals, right? There's gaming and then there's non-gaming. What can you tell us about the balance between the two and their strategies? How are they prioritizing these and why?
So operating two business segments are ultimately under the contract with the government. They do have to balance their priorities in terms of how to expand it in the RWS 2.0 model. So I think that if you take a look at how the business model is like, there is more creativity to in terms of thinking how to expand the non-gaming business compared to your gaming business. Because gaming business, ultimately, you're attracting a very small target segment. Whereas in terms of your non-gaming segment, you can actually target a much larger market and you have the capacity and scope to expand and change how you like the facilities itself.
You talk about expansion and getting creative. So RWS has said that the festive hotel will be turned into a business, leisure and sort of workcation or work vacation type of hotel. I want to talk about the rationale behind this. I mean, it is a family hotel. There has been criticism that, you know, it's starting to look a little bit old. Now they want to cater to the businessmen working group. What do you think is the rationale behind this?
I think apart, you know, for me, being a new travel trend, you know, for your business leisure and your workation. So I think transforming hotels into this kind of facilities could help to remove the seasonality typically involved with travel, especially that you see the spike that you see during holiday periods. So by catering to the business, leisure and work vacation crowd, you kind of make yourself available as a potential destination whole year round. So this is probably an extension to the whole focus of MICE events that we have seen gaining traction pre-COVID-19 in Singapore as well.
I want to focus a little bit more on their revenue. We did see Genting Singapore's second half earnings, and this was reflected in the gaming revenue falling 16% year on year during the second half. Non-gaming revenue was up 2%. You alluded to this earlier briefly, but let's talk about what they really need to do moving forward in order to ensure that they do better than their rivals here.
So we compare themselves to the pre-COVID-19 levels. I think the non-gaming segment does seem to be lagging a little bit more compared to the gaming segment in terms of its pace of recovery. So I think the main reason behind this is the fact that, you know, in your gaming segment, your contributions can be propped up by your VIP gamers, which tend to have high spending power. So under a pandemic condition with limited operating capacities, you could still have a significant contribution from a comparatively smaller group of gamers. So this is in contrast to your non-gaming segment, where your price discrimination is not as distinct across different price points and is more reliant on a volume business driven by human traffic. So business contribution is heavily dependent on the capacity of which it is currently still capped at 50% of its maximum capacity and was entirely shut for operations at a peak of the lockdowns in 2020 and 2021. So in terms of comparing themselves to their rivals, Marina Bay Sands, I think both casinos attract slightly different profile of gamers. Mm. So when travel opened up towards the end of the year, I think the gamers who typically preferred your kind of off-island experience would have traveled out of Singapore, so which could have explained the relatively muted performance for Genting Singapore's casino in the fourth quarter compared to Marina Bay Sands.
Wee Kong, just kind of wrap this up and talk a little bit about Genting Singapore last trading at 0.76. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think it's worth making a bet on the company now, especially with all the plans that it has in the pipeline?
Yeah, I think the general market consensus is that Singapore will continue to commit to its border reopening plan and that it will bode well for Singapore's business as well as the entire tourism sector as a whole moving forward. Although the pace could be a slightly slower, but I think downside is pretty well covered in terms of visibility of exiting the pandemic, especially when we compare to the height of the uncertainty that we were faced with during the middle of 2020.
All right, thank you very much for that. Wee Kuang, Tay Wee Kuang, Senior Associate at CGS CIMB Securities. You stay safe and take care, Wee Kuang.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.